Atta,
therefore,
come,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Sarvabhutanam,
of all living entities,
Ritpadmeshu,
in the lotus hearts,
Krita Alayam,
residing,
Shruta Anubhavam,
whose glories you have heard,
Sharanam,
onto the shelter,
Raja,
go,
Bhavina,
by devotional service,
Bhamini,
my dear mother.
Translation.
Therefore, my dear mother, by devotional service, take direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One can attain direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full Krishna consciousness and revive one's eternal relationship with Him as lover, as Supreme Soul, as son, as friend, or as master. One can re-establish the transcendental loving relationship with the Supreme Lord in so many ways, and that feeling is true oneness. The oneness of the Mayavadi philosophers and the oneness of Vaishnava philosophers are different. The Mayavadi and Vaishnava philosophers both want to merge into the Supreme, but the Vaishnavas do not lose their identities. They want to keep the identity of lover, parent, friend, or servant. In the transcendental world, the servant and master are one. That is the absolute platform. Although the relationship is servant and master, both the servant and the served stand on the same platform. That is oneness. Lord Kapila advised his master that she did not need any indirect process. She was already situated in that direct process because the Supreme Lord had taken birth as her son. Actually, she did not need any further instructions because she was already in the perfectional stage. Kapila Dev advised her to continue in the same way. He therefore addressed his mother as Bhamini to indicate that she was already thinking of the Lord as her son. Devahuti, as advised by Lord Kapila, to take directly to devotional service, Krishna consciousness, because without that consciousness, one cannot become liberated from the clutches of Maya. Attatam sarvabhutanam ritpadmeshu kritalayam shrutanu bhavam sharanam raja bhavina bhamini. Translation again. Therefore, my dear mother, by devotional service, take direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. Om Magyana Timrandasya Gananjana Salakaya Shaksumilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Mitale Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Nityanamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Kauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sunyavadi Pasacha Deshatarine. So in this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, many instructions has been given by Kapila Dev to his mother, Devahuti. In the end, it's just like Bhagavad Gita. Different paths were described in Bhagavad Gita. And in the end, Krishna said, just give up all this. They're all good for different purposes. But just give up all this and just surrender to me. So in the Vedas, there's so many paths has been described. And those different paths were meant for people at different level of consciousness in their development. No one is left behind. There's something for everyone. Sometimes people say Krishna consciousness is very narrow-minded. You only go for just one. But if you actually, if someone has actually read Bhagavad Gita, for example, Krishna is quite liberal. He described many different processes. In fact, he said, you should all just think of me. If you cannot do that, you just work for me. Oh yeah, follow the regulative principle of devotional service. If you cannot do that, you do this. You work and you offer the results to me. And so on. Just, you can't do this, you do this. You can't do this, you go. Start somewhere. You know? Start somewhere and gradually build ourselves up. So, as Bhakta Prabhu was saying yesterday, sometimes sometimes as devotees we do develop that narrow-mindedness. But that is mainly due to immaturity. And he gave the example, he said, sometimes you meet someone, they say, oh, never in a million years he's going to become Krishna conscious. Now, how can we, just an infinitesimal part of Krishna, tiny little soul, make such a statement? Never. Like they say never. You never know. But if you've been around in Krishna consciousness long enough, you actually don't get surprised. Not many things surprises you. You've seen people come from the weirdest background. They have the weirdest behavior. And they turn out to be all right. And they turn out to be very steady, very stable devotees. On the other hand, sometimes someone comes and is very sophisticated, very learned, very educated. They may not last very long. So you never know, because ultimately, every spiritual being is an eternal servant of Krishna. That is our constitutional position. All it just requires is a trigger. Sometimes when people have allergies, it just requires a trigger and everything just exploded. Right? So we never know what the trigger is. People in sales, they know what trigger is. They call it the hotspot. What is a hotspot in that person? Keep by asking questions, then you press on that. So we never know, and Krishna is extremely merciful. He's so merciful that he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most magnificent, the deliverer of the most fallen, Patita Pavan. So nobody is denied the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In fact, we hear reading Chaitanya Charitamrita about Jagai Madai. When the treasurer or the record keeper of Yamaraj? So when Lord Chaitanya delivered Jagai Madai at the pleading of Lord Nityananda, Chitragupta came in front of Yamaraj. He felt so incredulous. He said, my job is to keep all this record. How can this person, these two brothers, be delivered? And he was just reading out the list. There was such a long list of all the abominable activities that the two brothers have performed. You know, and all kinds of wonderful locations were already reserved, their name written on it, in the hellish planets. They have a reserved room there. And suddenly just with one wipe, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everything wiped out. So he was reading all those lists, and they did this, and they did that, and so many things. And Yamaraj fell into a swoon. He was in complete ecstasy. He just fainted by hearing all this. And such is the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the blessing of this particular Kali Yuga. Despite all its faults, despite the fact that it's the most unconducive age for developing spiritual life, but because of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and in his Sankirtan movement and the chanting of the holy name, it has become the most auspicious. What has been the most inauspicious has turned into something very auspicious. Simply by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we never know who can or who cannot. We go on the premise that everyone can, because everyone is ultimately eternal son of Krishna. Everyone is a spirit soul. And if they cannot, we have many weapons. You cannot take philosophy. You don't want to come to deities and worship Krishna. No problem. Just sing and chant. You don't like the chanting and singing? No problem. Just eat. Come to Gopal. Come to Crossway. Wherever we distribute prasadam, just eat. Who can say no? I remember a long time ago, we converted one truck into like a moving kitchen in Sweden. We went to one of the largest rock festivals in the Northern Hemisphere. It was like about 100,000 people. Now, okay, it's nothing when you talk in India. 100,000, it's like a tiny little drop, you know. But when you're talking about in Sweden, in Denmark, there's 5 million people. In Sweden, there's 8 million people. 100,000 is a lot, right? Everything is so relative. So it was a huge rock festival in the Northern Hemisphere, and we were there. We could not cook fast enough. We had these two pots, one pot for halwa, one pot for khichdi. So as soon as he cook and bring it out, half an hour, all gone. And then it was the queue up again for another, like an hour to waiting for the next batch of cooking. It was continuous going on all day, all night. Until something like, you know, almost midnight. And I was moving around a bit and I was talking to people, and there was this Dane, right, young Dane, quite big. And I served him prasadam. I served him a plate of prasadam. He was like, he took it and said, you know, we in Denmark are not poor, you know. We don't need all this free food. We can pay for it ourselves. We are not starving. And I tried to, no, I say we're just distributing for everyone. And he keep arguing. I said, all right, if you have any something against getting free food, give it back to me. And he was just, no, we don't need free food. And we keep holding on to the plate. Right? We don't need free food. And I gave up. I said, all right, do whatever you want with it. And a few minutes later, I saw him queuing up for the second plate. So much for all this argument. When it comes to prasadam, they just melt. That's why they call it our secret weapon. So now with the new kitchen, there's going to be a whole new explosion in Melbourne. And more people are going to get prasadam. So you never know who they are. And who knows what happened to that person? They took some prasadam. Whether they take up Krishna consciousness or in more contact with devotees this lifetime, we don't know. But next lifetime they'll continue. When you talk about time, again, it's so relative. What is actually a few lifetimes? What is even 100 lifetimes? When we have been going up and down in this material world for millions and millions and millions of lifetimes. How many lifetimes have we been here in this material world? But of course, Prabhupada said this lifetime. Go back home, back to Godhead. Just follow the process. So, our job as devotee, as Bhakta Prabhu was again saying yesterday, he didn't like the word preaching. He said sharing. So when I was listening to him, I look up, I Google preaching dictionary. What does it mean? Preaching also means like trying to impose your thinking on someone else, but it also means that you're trying to present a point. You're very convinced about your same point, about your philosophy or religious belief or whatever, and you're trying to present it that way. So it's based on conviction. So that's preaching. But again, Sometimes people just have so much false ego, so much pride. When you sound preachy, they get offended. They think, who do you think you are? That you think you know better than me? Now, of course, we do know better than them. Not because we are very qualified, but because Prabhupada gave us all this knowledge. That's why we are qualified. We are not qualified, but by reading Prabhupada's book, listening to the lecture, practicing it, we become very qualified by His mercy. So therefore, we try not to be preachy. And I learned a long time ago from one devotee. I can't remember, was Satchinanda Swami or Bhakti Bhushan Maharaj. Satchinanda Swami, I think. He said, don't preach to people when you first meet them. Become their friend. So become friendly with them. Then when they feel comfortable with you, they will start asking questions. Then you preach. A little bit. And then they ask more questions, and you give them a little bit. Like fishing. Little by little, little by little. Don't try to give the whole Srimad Bhagavatam in 5 minutes. Even Shukadev goes on, it took 7 days. Little by little. And draw them in. And that was Bhakti Bhushan Maharaj's approach to preaching when he was, before he went to South America, preaching in South America, he was in Berlin. He was running a preaching center in Berlin. And he met so many devotees during that time. People keep coming back and asking questions. Because you give them just a little bit, they go back to think about it. Yeah, but what about this? Then they have more questions than answers, so they came back. And they keep coming back, and they keep coming back. So each time they come back, you give them a little more, and more prasadam. And this way, so many became devotees. So this just add, don't be impatient. Have faith in the fact that their spirit soul is just cultivating the ground, the heart, preparing it so that they're able to receive the mercy of Krishna. Krishna is already in the heart. And the holy name is very, very powerful. It can penetrate all kinds of darkness. It can penetrate all levels of resistance. Just have to expose it long enough. So as I was coming here, I was listening. I've been listening to the reading of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm now an Anjalila. Rupa Goswami was writing the two dramas. First he started one drama, then he was instructed to write two dramas, Vidakta Madhava and Lalita Madhava. So in the invocation introduction, he was writing how I cannot understand the haze, the power of this holy name, these two syllables, Krish and Na. He said, when you chant this name, it just dances in my mouth. And there's so much nectar there. So when you chant the holy name Krishna, I wish I have thousands of mouths to chant. And then when I chant with thousands of mouths, I wish I have millions of years to hear this holy name. And all the devotees, when they heard it, they were just so amazed. They thought, they have heard so many descriptions and describing the glories of the holy name, but never in this way. So that's a power. And in the Charitamrita, it also described, thus by the process of bhakti, and that means in Kali Yuga, the chanting of the holy name, this soul will be awakened. And the natural love of Krishna will manifest in the heart, because that's our natural constitutional position. It's not an imposition, like Prabhupada said, it's not an imposition. So it's not an external imposition, it's something there that waiting for it to be awakened. But when the Vedas describe so many processes, people get confused. They can get confused. Even sometimes devotees get confused. We worshiping Krishna, sometimes we get distracted. I heard of devotee when there was a bit of an uproar in Malaysia, right? When this very influential spiritual person, what they call her, Amma. You ever heard of her, Amma? He came. A whole group of devotees went there to get blessings, and you know. And yes, we do not disrespect other spiritual figures. We do not disrespect the demigods, because they all represent, like also Bhakta Prabhu was describing that, we have to be mindful. Because the demigods are also very powerful personality. They are representative of Krishna, performing their different function. They are not ordinary beings. We should offer respect to them. But at the same time, we also know who to take shelter of. And this is what Kapila Devi has instructed his mother. You don't have to go through all these different processes. Go direct. Take direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is already seated in everyone's heart. If we have $100 note, all the $10 note, $1 note, $20 note, $5, $0.50, $0.10, all this, they're all included. Is everything already included there? I remember many years back, I think it was my first trip to Jaipur. Right? So I was not familiar with Jaipur, but heard of Govinda Dev Temple. And I was very, very eager to have darshan of Govinda Dev. Went on some scooter. I said, Govinda Dev Temple. And I was told, in Jaipur, everyone knows where the temple is. Right? So they took me to this place. It was a square, and they were going up many steps. Now you already know it's not. Going up many steps. And I see all many devotees were rushing up the steps. So I also got very excited. I started rushing up the step. Walk into the door. Before I look at the altar, I obviously throw myself full dandavat. And I look up. It was a big Ganesh deity. And I feel great disappointment. You know, because I was working myself up, and I was really, really eager that darshan of Govinda Dev. And I went up. And then I later on realized that was not right. That was very disrespectful. And I guess that's why Ganeshji never really blessed me with much. So, and going around, and ended up never having darshan. The guy couldn't figure out what I was talking about. So later on, another time, I went with a devotee and he took me there. And that was nice. Got a blessing. And I got to experience how eager those devotees in Jaipur, how eager they were to have darshan every day of Govindaji. We were there early for the darshan. And you know the altar is very narrow. So I thought, we sit there. We are standing there, right in front of the altar. And I thought, we're going to have a really good darshan. Standing there. And then as the time approaches, people are coming. And we get pushed. And we get pushed. And we get pushed. No Indians, they push. Right? They push, 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 push. We push her to the other corner. First to come, and they end up in one of the worst spots. So anyway, what to do? We circumambulated the deity, and as we circumambulated one round, Pujari saw us, and saw we from ISKCON. Took some tusi from Krishna's lotus feet, and gave us some garland. Oh, very nice. Got the mercy after all. So, but then it's one incident from personal experience how we should not be disrespectful of the demigod. They show our respect and then we go on our way. It was a bit like the gopis when Krishna disappeared and then Narayana appeared before them. They offer obeisance, but dear Narayana, oh by the way, have you seen Krishna? But that's a different level. I'm not trying to compare myself. So, as we practice Krishna consciousness, we have to be mindful and be respectful to others. Devotees are respectful, they're not disrespectful to others. By mindful about others' feelings, so they may be worshipping this person, that person. But Krishna also saying, Bhagavad Gita, one should not discourage them, but instead encourage them in the spirit of devotion. Somehow introduce Krishna into their life. Don't try to completely change people. They will change only when they want to change. When you force a change on them, they will reject. A man against his will is of the opinion stable. So we have to be able to introduce which part of our Krishna consciousness or which part of our philosophy that will appeal to them. And just give them that. Let them think. And have faith that the process is powerful. Sooner or later, they're going to wake up. I was slightly different note. My son, he was just trying to find his way around, drop out of school and so on, with his job and all that. So what I did is I was feeding him a lot of audio tape on self-development. That I know that by listening to this, whole attitude will change to more positive thoughts, and that will create a platform to move forward. And we went on for 2 years, 3 years. So he was listening to this. And he's also getting every day I'm sending up one positive quote to groups of people. And he did on occasion told me that he do think about all these things every time he receives this. So then recently he just told me, he said, Dad, I'm going to have a career change. I'm not going to work in warehouse anymore. I'm going to go into sales. So, okay. And he applied and he actually got a job offer and went to training. And I was quite amazed by the courage he was showing. Completely, his demeanor completely changed. So recently he had his birthday and we got together. My daughter cooked something and my wife made a cake. So, and then he saw on the shelf my daughter had Bhagavad Gita. He took it out, he said, can I have it? My daughter said, no, that's my copy. And then I said, it's all right, you take it and I'll give you another copy. I said, what do you want Bhagavad Gita for? He said, I want to read it. Okay, that's nice. And you never know. People they are all individuals, so they are all independent, so they all have their different, they have to find their own way somehow. All we can do is just guide them, encourage them, and don't judge. And it's hard as parents not to judge, but very hard. So many times I have to bite my tongue, not say anything. And it's just through the encouragement and association, just give them little bit, and they gradually come around. And if they don't come around, it's their choice. Everyone ultimately have to fly their own airplane. Everyone has to make their own choice in life. We all make our choices. Most of you were fortunate growing up in that culture, but still, I'm sure quite a number of you here went off the path that your parents were showing you, young, and now it's like making a full circle back. So it's still a choice. You make a choice to come back and not go even further than what the parents gave. We make a choice. I didn't go to Europe to look for Krishna. I went to Europe to look for Maya. More Maya. And end up with Krishna. Right? I went looking for broken glasses and end up with the most valuable gem. That's because of the mercy of devotees. And that the devotee may not be the most advanced devotee. The one who introduced me to Krishna consciousness, he didn't know much philosophy. He was a life member, a retired engineer that I happened to have his number, and my friend told me, you contact him when you come. And I stayed there, he brought me to the temple and he encouraged me. So he was the one who introduced me to Krishna consciousness. Right? And so you never know. Everyone has different stages of their life. But back to the point of this, as devotees, we have to be mindful and be respectful to others. But at the same time, we have to remain very focused on what is our ultimate goal in life. The majority of us here, we work, we have family, we deal with elements that are not exactly Krishna conscious element every day. And if we are not careful, we can very easily get just dragged into all this materialism. So it's very, very important to stay focused. The way to stay focused is Devi Kusadana, and be very regular in studying Prabhupada's books. Who live around here? So most of you don't live around here. Yeah? So you travel to work? How long do you travel? How long does it take you go to work? To work.
It doesn't have a fixed office in the sense.
Who has a fixed job who don't live around here? Come on. Yes. How far do you travel?
It takes me 25 minutes by train.
35 minutes by train. So what do you do on the train?
I chant because I can't complete my 16 rounds otherwise.
You chant. So you're purifying the whole coach. Very good. And who else? How far do you travel? 50 minutes. And what do you do?
I listen to the audio.
Very good. That's called university on wheels. Just imagine every day how much time you spend on traveling. If you're traveling like 1 hour, 1.5 hour every day back and forth, how many lectures can you listen to? Easily one lecture in, one lecture back. And in 1 week, you're listening to 10 lectures. You're listening to like 500 lectures a year. Can you imagine the impact? Can you imagine the amount of realization, the amount of knowledge, the amount of purification we have? When I drive a lot to see clients. I always put on audio. Very rare I put on bhajan. And I listen over and over and over and over and over and over again and again. Over and. Sometimes I listen to audio related to my work, and sometimes I listen to Prabhupada lecture. I went on the whole yatra with Radhanath Swami through audio. Been to Vrindavan, Jagannath Puri, South India, Govinda, all that's with him. And you feel like sometimes you just get so absorbed in hearing and you feel like you're there. So it's a great resource. Don't complain when you're traveling. Use that. You know? So nobody can say I have no time to read. You have no time to read, listen. It's just as good. There's all these books are all on audio now. You can listen to it. So I listen to Bhagavad Gita, I listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, I listen to Krishna book, I listen to Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can listen every day. Sometimes I'm on the road for 3 hours a day. And I listen to a lot. So, and that help us be focus. And every day we get reminded, what is actually our purpose in life? Who is our most worshipable deity? Who is the most worshipped Lord? We are worshipping Krishna not just out of sentiment, but because the Shastra says so. Ishvara Parama Krishna, Sachit Ananda Vigraha, Anadi Adi Govinda, Savakarana Karana. So many controllers, but Ishvara Parama Krishna. Out of all these Ishvara, there's one Parama Ishvara, and that's Krishna. And he's Sachit Ananda Vigraha. He's unborn, coward boy, cause of all causes. Just this one sloka has more knowledge about the Supreme Personality of Godhead than all the other religious group has. This one sloka. So packed of information about who the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not vague. It's not maybe, perhaps, who God is. Everything is very clearly described. His form, how he dressed, the jewels that adorn him, the flower, even flower garland, the color, his dhoti, his activities. So when we hear about all these descriptions, and we hear about these wonderful pastimes of Krishna, you feel like you want to be there. How can a devotee become attracted to become merging the Brahman? I remember that from one lecture that Prabhupada gave. He was talking about the cowherd boys playing with Krishna in the forest of Vrindavan, and Krishna lost. He said, "Krishna, you lost. Now you have to carry me on your back." And Prabhupada said, just see, the Mayavadis want to merge into the Supreme, but these cowherd boys, they want to climb on the shoulder of the Supreme. They're not interested in merging. I was a bit surprised Prabhupada used the word merge here. Because in that, and another time, in the conversation, someone used the word merge, and Prabhupada said, "Merge, never!" Sometimes for devotees, they hear the word merge, it's horrifying. They relate merging with the Brahman. Well, you lose your identity. What are you going to do in a state of just nothingness? And even in the previous verse, they're talking about the yogis who worship Lord Brahma, they merge into the body of Lord Brahma. And if Lord Brahma is a pure devotee, then you have to wait until the end, the dissolution. When Lord Brahma go back home, back to Godhead, then they go with him. So that's what we need to focus on. Understand all the different elements, the hierarchy of things in the universe. The demigods, they have their purposes, they have their role to play. Yeah. And it also goes to show that demigods, even though they're very, very powerful personality, very empowered personality, but because they're dealing with a lot of power, sometimes they also get carried away. Sometimes they also forget who their master is. Like in the case of Indra. Or in the case of Lord Brahma trying to play a trick on the cow boys by stealing the cow boys and the calf. And Krishna has to put them in their place. And Krishna is very merciful. He just utilizes the lila, pasam, and correct his devotees. And then put and get them properly situated again. And that's assurance we have as devotees, just by reading these pastimes, that even if we do make mistakes, we go astray, if we're sincere, Krishna will find us a way to just get us right back on the right track. And getting us back on the right track, maybe directly or indirectly. He may use someone to come, or it could be someone you've not even seen for a long time, or it could be a devotee you don't even know. We just come and notice something out of Prabhu, and we wake up. Oh, wow, okay, thank you very much. That is a wonderful nature of Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada gave us in this ISKCON movement, the association of devotees, that we help one another, we encourage one another, not put one another down. I said that before, and it will always strike me as so poignant, that point that this devotee make about Prabhupada, the quality of Prabhupada. You see how Prabhupada is always encouraging. He don't put anyone down. Doesn't matter what mistake we make, what devotees do, he always encouraging them. And then he went on to say, Maya is already putting us down. She don't need our help. She's very good at doing that. So what we need is encourage, lift people up. You never know, sometimes you just go up to a person, you just say something nice, just a simple word, you make his day. You know, you lift his spirit. And that may be just the right word they want to hear. And imagine someone, the most common what I heard from devotees who sometimes stop coming to the temple or don't feel comfortable coming to the temple if they've been away for a while is they come, first when they meet the devotee, first thing I hear, Prabhu, where have you been? Are you still chanting? How many rounds are you chanting nowadays? Very encouraging. Right? You think this devotee, if he's not fully practicing Krishna consciousness or gone off the wagon, is he going to come back? He will be very embarrassed to come back. But on the other hand, you come and say, oh, Prabhu, so nice to see you. How are you? How have you been doing? I haven't seen you for a long while. Come, let's go and take some prasadam. You see the difference. And you feel very welcome. You say, yeah, this is where I belong. What have I been doing? I've been staying away from all these saintly people who really care about me, who are showing me so much love. This is my family. And if immediately she feels at home and she wants to come back. But you come and just keep being judged. You say, this is a very hostile environment. enemy territory. And they don't feel comfortable. So always be mindful of who we're dealing with and cultivate that genuine compassion in our heart. If you want to describe the true quality of a Vaishnava, then it can describe this one word. He's Patita Pavan. What they say? They exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj. He feel pain when he see the sufferings of others. That's a Vaishnava. He don't feel joy. In the material, it's opposite. People feel joy to see suffering. You look at these old comedy movies, right? As kids, we grew up with the Three Stooges. Do you have Three Stooges in Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah? In India? I remember many years back when Kiriraj Prabhu, old Prabhupada disciple, was in Sweden. He went back, he brought his kids back to America, and we were sitting there with Sautra Swami and Smita Krishna Swami in the library. And he was talking, he said, oh, I brought the kids. It was so good. They wake up in the morning watching Three Stooges. And then, because Sautra Swami and him both are from America, and they started talking about the Three Stooges. And Smita Krishna Swami was sitting there, complete blank. What are you talking about? They didn't have Three Stooges in Sweden. They have something else. Lauren Hardy or something. But anyway, you just look at this, those old Three Stooges movies, they're always hurting one another. Right? bang, and you know, in the eye, and people laugh. They laugh to see the pain of others. But Vaishya is completely opposite. They feel pain to see the sufferings of others. Just like Prabhupada, when you look out on his veranda and see all these young villagers scavenging the rubbish dump, looking for food. Prabhupada was so affected, he cried. Why are they in the house of their father? Why they have no food to eat? And that's when he declared, nobody should go hungry within 10 miles radius of the temple. And that's how Food for Life was born. And what is that compassion that compelled Prabhupada to leave India, leave Vrindavan, to come to the West, and then stay in the midst of these hippies? And of all places, not just this New York, it was the Bowery. It's like the bowels of New York. It's the most derelict, one of the most derelict places, you know, in New York, where the devotees who are from New York described to me, said it's a place you have to time yourself that you can pass through that area without getting stopped at the traffic light. You want to just zoom right through. Because if you're unfortunate to get stopped, then you have all the drunkards and all this come and spit on your window screen and wipe it and expect you to give some money to them. And you get harassed by all these people. And Prabhupada came there, ended up there. So he was staying in that apartment. He has to climb over drunkards in the morning to get into the doorway, the stairs. And share the fridge with meat eaters. Living in the same apartment with drug addicts, some guy who was on drugs, who will go crazy. So much compassion. Went so far out of his way just to follow the instruction of his spiritual master to preach to the English speaking world. To give Krishna consciousness to others. So when we're out preaching, when we're out on book distribution, sometimes we meet with difficulties, sometimes the mind, whatever difficulty we met, I always think back of what Prabhupada did for us. And it always gives me strength. It always gives me strength and make me actually feel ashamed. Then who am I to complain here? I'm young. You know, I still have energy. And this difficulty I feel here is just it's so nothing compared to what Prabhupada has to go through. He was 70 years old when he went to America. And he persisted. And he still persisted. He didn't give up. So someone who actually really have grasped, who has really appreciated and have realization and love for Krishna. So they're willing to go through all difficulty to work on behalf of Krishna, to spread his glories, to relieve his anxiety by reclaiming the conditioned soul. That's a devotee. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lamenting, he said, I brought all these fruits, but nobody is taking. He brought the fruits of love of Godhead, nobody is taking. And it seems that I have to bring it back. But the devotee approached him, don't worry. We will distribute it for you. We will distribute it. So they didn't like the fact to watch Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in that kind of anxiety. They said, we will relieve you of your anxiety. We will do the work. We will go and distribute. And that's what we are doing as devotees. They have received the most wonderful gift, and it's only natural to share. When we get something wonderful, we always want to share it. And we share according to our own ability, according to our capacity. We share. Don't be miser. Devotees are broad-minded. We are not misers. And the more we share, the more we get. That's the mystery of Krishna consciousness. The more you give, the more you get. You want to get more of Krishna? Give Krishna away. The more you give Krishna away, the more we, Krishna come back to us. It's very wonderful. So this Krishna consciousness is so wonderful. Sometimes I was just thinking during the day, I'm so fortunate that I received the mercy of the devotees and been connected to the Krishna consciousness. If I don't have Krishna, my life would be so boring. You know? And my life would be so meaningless. Just get up in the morning, go to work, come home. Get up in the morning, go to work, come home. Weekend, go shopping, grocery shopping, da-da-da-da, watch TV, and that's about it. And then save up enough money and blow it off in travel, spending hours and hours on the plane, go and look at buildings, take picture of buildings, and, you know. And then life just goes on circle like that. Nothing to look. And then as you get older and older, as I'm getting older and older, and look at, and what's the end result of all this? A little coffin. Either burn in the ground or get burnt. And that's all we got to show. What is the legacy we're going to leave behind? Build up an empire, build up a lot of wealth to leave behind for the children to squander it. What is a legacy? We ask ourselves, we occupy space here on this earth. Are we just here to occupy space and use up the resources of this earth? Or are we going to occupy space and make a useful, lasting contribution? Ask ourselves, what am I doing here? What kind of legacy are we going to leave behind? What kind of legacy are we going to leave behind for the next generation? Are you going to leave behind something better or something worse? People pick up so many causes, trying to do better in the earth. But these are all, without Krishna in the center, these are all failed causes. Because they're just fixing a tiny little part of the big problem. They're not fixing the root of the problem. As Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said, there's no lacking in this world. The only thing lacking in this world is Krishna consciousness. Because when we are Krishna conscious, so many of these problems suddenly disappear. And all these problems around the world are caused by people in ignorance. The biggest cause of pollution is the meat industry. So in media, if a devotee, meat industry finished, of greatly reduced. Immediately pollution reduces. Simple. And all the sources that worry about, there's not going to be enough water. The amount of water they use to create one kilo of meat is so much water they require. Immediately, there's so much more resources in terms of water. There'll be enough land for grains to feed the population 2-3 times more, world population. Just by being devotee and developing a vegetarian diet. And so much more. And when we'll be more mindful of the environment, if more devotees, their farm community, they will be not using all this fertilizer, they'll be using organic farming and so on. More healthy food will be produced. Immediately from there, so many good things will come about. So many of the problems in the world will be solved. So it's a matter of going to the root of the problem rather than trying to fix the superficial thing. That's why you never really get involved in all these things. Sometimes I see on Facebook devotees pushing this cause, that they get involved in this cause, that cause, so many different causes. I say, well, all this distraction. We are aware of it, we empathize with it, but we're not going to waste our time promoting it. We have very, very important work here. Each and every one of us has very important work. And if each one, and Japta Maharaj once said, this is, you're familiar with network marketing, direct selling, multi-level marketing. So he called this a spiritual network marketing. Right? So if each one introduced two, the two introduced two, introduced two. Then very quickly. And you know, each one just take responsibility to share Krishna consciousness with two people. And then help those two people to share with the other two people. How fast Krishna consciousness will spread. You do the numbers, two times, two times, two times, two times, two times, two. Exponentially will explode. Right. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments, wise crack? Yes, Prabhu.
One comment. As you said, hearing is most important.
Pardon?
Hearing about Krishna is most important. And you gave the example of Prahlad Maharaj. And he heard from Narad Muni.
Did I give that example?
Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Prahlad Maharaj. And he says that I am so much attracted to Krishna like iron is attracted to the magnet. That's by hearing.
Yeah.
So that's a very important verse of Bhagavatam.
The nine process of devotional service became a Shravana.
Lord Himself said it in Mother, direct devotional service, you can become a pure devotee because Krishna is sitting in our heart.
Yes. Yeah, direct service. Shravanam. It begins with Shravanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Pada Sevanam, Achanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani Vedanam. Nine projects. Everything begins from hearing. When we hear, we chant. And we chant. By hearing, chanting, we remember. And when we remember Krishna, you want to serve him. You become friendly to his cause, you become a friend. Yeah? And you worship him, you offer prayers to him. All everything just progressed just from hearing. That's why in the early part of Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many verses describing about hearing and chanting. Srimvatam Swadha Krishna Punya Sravana Kirtanam. It all begins with hearing. Any? Yes, bro.
When you mentioned about
yeah.
So, a lot of times when practicing devotion service, this tendency creeps into us in various other forms. As in, the motivation to chant sometimes does not become, serving, desiring for service, but, to get rid of the material miseries or to overcome anathas. So, and this tendency continues for a long time. And if this tendency continues, and at the time of death, if we have this thought that I am chanting because I don't want this suffering, I don't want birth again, I just want to finish my business and go back. So the tendency becomes that I just want mukti from this suffering. So is that be catastrophic, or how it should be? How do we always desire to only serve the holy name or serve the devotees?
Okay. The question basically is that sometimes you chant, and because of suffering's material world, we just want to chant, become purified, and go back to Godhead.
Not exactly back to world, but we just want
liberation and free from all this. Yes, it's understandable that when we are suffering, we first want to be free from all this suffering. Right? We can talk about being magnanimous and generous, but if we don't have, what are we going to be generous about? If we're struggling ourselves, it's hard to focus on others, isn't it? So although it is nice in the Shishamrita, where it's described Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Va, Jagadisha, Kamiya, Mama, Jamani, Jamani, Vishwari, Bhakti, Hatiki, Tvai. I do not want any riches. I do not want beautiful wife. I do not even want liberation. I just want to service life after life after life. Right? So we learn these slokas and we talk about these slokas. But at the end of the day, unless we really feel ourselves situated, very hard to always, if I'm struggling and feeling so much pain sometimes, it's hard to think that I want to come back to this life after life after life. Right? So we are not asking that we just be heroes that way. Be realistic. But that struggle, as we continue practice Krishna consciousness, that struggle reduces. It does. It may not be completely gone as long as we are in this material world, we're dealing with material and energy. It has to be there. And we always have to be alert and careful. Because if we are not alert, immediately we get dragged in again. So, yes, but after some time, you feel the pressure of the material world is decreased. The influence, the hold on us, loosen up. And then we feel more situated in our Krishna consciousness, and you start getting a taste. And say, and I want this, I don't mind serving Krishna life after life after life. Does that answer your question? So it's not wrong to say, I just want to be free from this in the initial stage. And when I talk about initial stage, the initial stage can be a few months, can be a few years. It depends on our level of our practice.
Pardon? That fear is always there in the heart that death can come at any time.
Yes.
If somehow this purification process doesn't...
That should create the urgency. That we may not have a lot of time. Because nowadays, with all these modern diseases, that can come any time. Certainly you can get a stroke, a heart attack, or whatever. Gone. One moment here, next moment gone. My cousin just last year, her husband, just in his 40s, feeling some chest pain. The brother drove him straight to the hospital on the way, died before he reached the hospital. Externally looked very young, healthy, bodybuilder. Didn't know he had a heart defect. Just passed away, left behind 3 small kids. So yes, it can happen anytime. So that's why getting old is a luxury. Mahatma Prabhu has a very luxury life. Many years of practicing Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is keeping him here so he can share his wisdom. It's like the grandfather, Bhishma, of everyone here. And it's amazing. Every day he's here. Every morning. So, so initially we just come and want to be free. And Krishna said, Chaturvida Bhajanti Mam. 4 kinds of people come to me. Some they come to be free from distress. I'm suffering so much, I want to be free from distress. Some are looking for a better situation. I mean, in some communities, in some countries, devotees join because they get 2 or 3 square meals a day. Whereas they were not even getting that. And I was talking about in the beginning when when Prabhupada first came to Africa, some brahmachari were stealing his dhotis, or his kudas, to wear. You know? And some just inquisitive, what is it all about? And then you have those who are actually seeking for knowledge. And the next verse, Krishna says, out of all these four, the one who is seeking knowledge is the best. So whatever our reason for coming, it has to come to the point of that we want to seek knowledge. Not just knowledge, but seeking knowledge of the Supreme. So that we can develop our relationship with Him. If it stays on this tree, then we won't stay in Krishna consciousness. If you come only because you want to be free from suffering of this material world, and it stays at that, then once you feel comfortable, you say, now I'm alright. And we give up Krishna consciousness. But not realizing that I'm feeling alright because I'm in Krishna consciousness. So once I leave, I'm out there again. If you lift the umbrella, you get wet again. So whatever the reason, you always have to come to the point to keep on developing ourselves in our Krishna consciousness, in our knowledge of Krishna, so that we can strengthen our relationship with Him. Make sense? Any other? One last question? Going? One? Going to? Yes. And of the lectures.
Yeah, of the lectures.
It has effect. The hearing goes in. But I tell you what. In the years, I've been like practically like 40 years. Sometimes when I read, I may not remember or think that I remember. But when I'm speaking, something just comes out of my mouth. That I thought, wow, where did that come from? It's there. We may not be conscious of it, but somehow in the subconscious, it's there and it's influencing us. Ultimately, we want to develop our subconscious. That we are mostly guided by our subconscious mind. That's what we want to influence. It becomes automatic. Right? We may not consciously aware of it, but we just automatically act in a Krishna conscious way because of this constant hearing, chanting. Does that make sense? Yeah. So sometimes even when you're cooking, you're acting, you're listening, you may not hear everything, you may not be paying full attention, but something goes in. Better than not hearing anything. But when you're traveling to work, you're not doing anything, you just sit there and you listen. Full absorption. You know, put on your earplug, and you're transported to the spiritual world. That's why I love my car. I get my car, first thing I turn, as drive, I have my tape on. And listen. I'm sitting at home, I'm just a bit too restless to sit still. There I have to sit still. Can't go anywhere, can't do anything else but listen. So that can be a very good use of time. Alright, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krish